Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
There wasn't a chance that Captain J. Hood were going to be here today, and that was before the weather. Welcome in. It's Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley. We're here until 10 a.m. Hope you're staying warm out there. And the temperature and the wind chill is no joke. Corey Seacrest already tweeted at us that cleaning off the car today is a little bit more of a task than usual, especially if you don't have a garage, obviously. Could have been worse, Jess. A dusting of snow. Earlier in the week, they're talking about a foot of snow, maybe more. But the wind chill, my car told me it was minus 10. I don't know if that's wind chill or actual air temperature, but I tweeted that out, and you'll see that I had a heated seats and a heated steering wheel, too. So I'm not complaining. I'm right down here in the Old National Bank studio on State Street and actually see people who work for a living going to work and bundled up.
Unlike us.
No, I mean, this is fun, and it's been fun forever. And
is this on? Anybody listening? Right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I am.
Well, I was given permission to do the show from home because of the anticipated snowmageddon, which didn't turn out to be as bad. And this always happens, right? They say it's going to be horrendous, 6 inches, 6 feet, and it turns out to be 6 inches or less, right? So I stayed at home, and unfortunately, I can't see any of your tweets or anybody else's tweets because, thanks to DirecTV/AT&T, I have no internet in the home. And, Brian, the more important thing than the next 3 hours without internet is the next 24 hours because I have three kids and a wife here, and it's freezing out. There's no internet. We have to stare at each other. That's not good for any family.
No.
For any extended
period. That leads to family counseling on Christmas Eve.
Right. You're right. Internet or TV being down around Christmas leads to family counseling. That is a good sort of connection there. I agree with you.
Anytime there's a merger and they tell you how it's going to be good for the consumer, and usually not, because first of all, try to get an actual person on the phone to
which
help
I
you out.
Did do this morning, but it was 6 a.m. That's when you have to make that call.
What time was it in New Delhi when you got through?
No doubt I had to. It took a while to be on the phone with this person. By the way, I love security. I don't like, but the layers of security, just because my internet's down, it'd be one thing if I'm trying to like add service. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not stealing. I want my internet is down. I don't care if someone else actually has my information. If they're getting internet, I'd like to know how they're getting it, even if they packed it. It took 8 minutes to get through the layers of security, and all they said is, "Yeah, it's cold. The internet's down for the next 24 hours or less." So I'm hoping it's or less.
Yeah, good
because
luck.
The last tweet I have on my laptop is Mike Kruko reacts to Carlos Correa news. My first thought was, what time do the dispensaries open?
Mike Kruko.
Kruko. That was 3 days ago.
Was he an exec with the Giants? I mean, I remember when he was pitching for the Cubs. My brother actually had a pair of Mike Kruko cleats. Don't ask me. He got them at some charity auction. They're worthless. They were worthless then. But he liked Mike Kruko. So what are you going to do? Now the Mets decided they could, medical. Who cares about a medical report? Let's $300 million.
I'm expecting Trevor Bauer signs with the Mets in like 24 hours.
Oh, I mean, man.
It's a fait accompli at this point that somehow Trevor Bauer is going to end up on the Mets because Steve Cohen doesn't care probably about anything, but first and foremost money. But yes, if you didn't hear the news. Now, I actually kind of took the day off yesterday, Brian, in advance of snowmageddon. I went out and did some things with the kids.
You and everybody else,
It was also my anniversary, so I had to do it. I had a lot going on yesterday, and I shut down from the Cubs could have traded for Aaron Judge, and I was not going to react to it. I just, you need one of those days, right?
Yeah.
Shut it down, spent time with the family, and obviously my wife with our anniversary. And then so last night, I actually plugged back in because I know the show today. Somehow I forced myself to watch Zach Wilson, didn't really get much out of that. And then I see Trevor Bauer's been reinstated. The Cubs have a catcher. Like, I caught up on all this stuff for the show today. It was a lot of news yesterday, and it ended with Trevor Bauer. There was suspension was reduced to time served. He was still found guilty of all these things. The question, of course, for the next little while, for a lot of big markets, would anybody sign him? Is anybody going to sign Trevor Bauer?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And, you know, all the baggage that goes with it, and then the media circus that at least initially will follow him to wherever.
And the fact that he's shown no contrition, like he has not shown any remorse at all,
no,
really.
No.
He's been defiant. And to think of a press conference to sort of get a second chance, probably going to have to show some remorse in some capacity. And I don't know if he has it in him.
Yeah, and really, you know, how long has he been out now? I mean, how's his game impacted? And you know, what kind of pitcher is – how old is Trevor these days?
31, 32.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, look, all you're going to have to do is pay him the minimum.
Yeah.
So from a baseball standpoint, someone would take a chance on him. That's an easy call. But in terms of the publicity and if he could be a good teammate and a good – I mean, who knows? And should he be allowed? You know, there's that whole thing. It's a privilege to be a major leaguer, right?
Yep.
Should he be allowed? It's up to each individual team. I mean, it's called the free market. He's allowed to get a job. It's just up to the 30 teams if they want to give him one.
And you know, you mentioned the Mets and the fact that money is no object. And if you're a Mets fan, it's great. If you're a Cubs fan, at least, you know, you're happier this week. I am, you know, because we talked about it.
Sure.
Last Saturday when we were doing a show, and I'm like, you know, it'd be nice if they at least get the last shortstop of the top four standing, and they did. So, I mean, I felt better going into the holidays. But can the Mets, can they be the sole reason they go to a hard cap in MLB? I mean, or to at least accelerate the conversation? Are we going to see an NFL-type cap at some point other than just the luxury tax and repeat offenders and, you know, the onerous money you have to pay if you decide to do what the Mets are doing?
I think that the conversation is going to open up in that direction in some and go in various directions. Sylvie likes to say, Jesse, you're an I told you so guy, and I'm going to say I'm a told you so guy, because after the lockout ended, I kind of saw this coming in terms of the haves and the have-nots. You've heard me use that phrase if you've listened to the station at all. And part of it is, and the league was worried about this, Brian, raising the CBT without any sort of a floor was going to create even more payroll disparity. In other words, some teams will spend all the way up to $233 million, while the Pittsburgh Pirates continue to spend whatever they're spending. And then there's other teams like Steve Cohen and the Phillies and the Padres that will spend past the CBT, well past it. And so for various reasons, we've created a league of haves and have-nots, of super teams and bad teams. Maybe there's a few teams in the middle.
Very few.
Yeah, the Cubs might be considered one of those in 2023. And none of this really is good for the game. I mean, it's kind of happened in the NBA in different ways, right? We kind of seen this congregating of stars. And it hasn't, in my opinion, been great for the NBA.
No.
Somebody else might agree that it has, but you and I are old school. I think we agree it's not. And we're heading in that direction in baseball, and Steve Cohen is leading the charge. So I think what you bring up is going to be a conversation. And there are agents that were ticked off, Brian, that the union did not explore a salary floor along with the CBT, you know, levels at the top. And so I don't know what the answer is, but this over the next 4 years, it's going to be very 5 years. It's going to be very interesting where this thing goes leading up to the next labor agreement.
If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. That is the number here at ESPN 1000 here until 10 a.m. Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley. And I'll take you in the Wayback Machine talking about salary caps and salary floors. When I was covering the Blackhawks in the Dark Ages, it was the year they first moved into the United Center. So it was a lockout shortened season. I think it was 95. And Bill Wirtz was the main, you know, shockingly, was the guy pushing for a salary cap because he didn't like, you know, the Rangers or the Maple Leafs or the Bruins or whomever spending whatever they wanted to spend and making him look, you know, even worse than he looked in the city. And so the NHL finally adopted a salary cap, and they adopted a salary floor. And Bill Wirtz had nothing to do with the being told, here's the minimum amount you had to spend. So he ended up being the only owner voting against the salary cap because he was upset that he was going to have to spend X, whatever the number was back in the day, $32 million or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, lunch money now. But he's like, the hell with this, all right? But he, you know, he pushed to get the salary cap, and then when he was told you're going to have to ante up and at least, you know, make an effort, he said no thanks. But they end up, obviously, he was the only guy voting against it. But, you know, when a third of the league and pick a league is tanking and you know, intentionally or has no intention to compete no matter, you know, it's not a good look for any league.
Well, it's the only sport where the payroll disparity is as big as it is for obvious reasons, because they don't have a hard cap. And it's only getting worse. And that is just not good for 30 teams. For a 30-team league, that is not good. It's great in Philadelphia in 23. It's great in San Diego in 23. It's certainly great in New York, whether that be the Queens or Bronx in 23. Well, those are four places. There's 30. And competitive balance is... professional sports in general, is the only place where you want competitive balance, right? You don't care if this law firm is better than that law firm. That doesn't matter in the world, but some sort of competitive balance does matter in sports. But again, in those cities, in those few cities this coming baseball season, they don't care, but it's everywhere else that cares. The fact that the Mets have to play the Pittsburgh Pirates, first of all, who would go to that game? Right.
Yeah.
You know, who would go to that? And second of all, it's a joke when we know half the league is out of it and half the league certainly is in it. We don't know who's going to win the World Series. October is great when you have eight super teams. That's fine. I love October, but it's getting to October. That's going to look a little scary with what's going on here. And Steve Cohen is just kind of exasperating it. And I don't think as a fan anyone's upset with Steve Cohen. I think you're kind of upset with how this – you're upset with those other owners, the Pittsburgh Pirates owner, the Reds owner. You're also maybe upset with the system in place that allows this kind of payroll disparity.
Well, you know, the NFL, and obviously we're going to talk lots of Bears today. Courtney Cronin will join us before we get out of here. We'll the Bears, 8.5-point underdogs tomorrow, hosting the Bills. The Buffalo Bills didn't have to shovel their way out of the out of the city. The fans didn't have to show up and plow the players' driveways like they did a few weeks ago when they had to get to Detroit because the game was displaced because of an actual blizzard. But, you know, when you have your own plane, you're not standing at O'Hare in a line of 300 people trying to get the last middle seat of a connecting flight. So they got here last night, but, I mean, the Bears 8.5-point favorites and the game
dogs.
Time temperature.
Dogs.
Dogs. You know, game time temperature could actually be below 8.5. It could be 8 degrees or 7 degrees.
What's higher, the line or the temperature? That's a good one. I like that, Brian.
But, you know, for the Bills, it's probably like a spring day. I mean, that's
right.
They're used to it's bear weather, Bills weather. But the NFL, each year, at least historically, it's like 25% of the teams can go from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yep.
And they have the hard cap, obviously, right? And so Pete Rozelle, all these decades ago, you talk about competitive balance. That's all he wanted. He wanted parity, right? He didn't want super teams. He didn't want the Patriots and Tom Brady to be inked into the Super Bowl each and every year. And it was all about trying to level the playing field. And that's not exactly the case anymore. But you know, when you have that, I think you know at least most fan bases feel they have a shot. Or no shot, but I mean, they have a shot to compete each and every year because the division isn't all that. But, you know, that has changed certainly.
I think it's changed some, but, you know, there's 32 teams. You can't have all 32 up for the Super Bowl every year. That's just not realistic.
Right.
But I think it's pretty, I mean, Tom Brady in New England was a unique scenario based on the quarterback and coach. It wasn't like things were favored for them because of money. You know what I mean? It wasn't just because Kraft was rich. They did a great job. I mean, it should come down to players and coaches, not dollars, right? I think we all agree with that. The fact that Green Bay's been viable for years is a great example. So I actually think I don't see it. I think his goal has been achieved over and over and over again, even though they had a dynasty in New England. So I think this is why the NFL, along with betting, is the greatest sport, because you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse. You're not stuck in some last place life for a decade because your owner is cheap, right? Yep. You might not be the top of the line because your owner's cheap, but you have a shot even if your owner is cheap.
And here in this city, obviously, the McCaskey family has been accused of being cheap forever. They're not that anymore. You can argue how well they spend their money, but they have certainly been spending it more often than not in the last 6, 7, 8 years. But you're right. I mean, when you have someone laser-focused like Bill Belichick, we're on to Cincinnati, I mean, he won't even entertain any questions that, you know, that they can't give a cliche answer to.
Right.
You know, that's how you get there, I guess, and begs the question of, with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, you know, how long does this take when you seemingly have the quarterback? We still, with the home stretch showing up here starting tomorrow, I don't, you know, with the wind conditions expected, I don't know how much passing there's actually going to be. You know, talking about the Patriots when they threw three passes up in Buffalo because of 30-40 mile an hour winds, and that's still the thing I want to see from Justin Fields. The next thing I know he can run, and I know he can run out of design or out of necessity, but I still need to see more. And right now he's got no one to throw to, and they're going to have their eighth iteration of an offensive line tomorrow with injuries, with right. Tevin Jenkins out and Cody Whitehair out. So, I mean, when you're, you know, 12, 13, 14 weeks into a season and you haven't settled on an offensive line, not that you're spoiled for choice with talent, it's interesting. I'd love to know what, from Bears fans who are heading to the game tomorrow, one, you know, what, you know, why or
do you have a screw loose?
Well, I mean, God bless you. If you're that dedicated Bears fan, I want to hear, you know, why you wouldn't miss this game. But what are you looking for in these final, you know, four games or so? We know Justin Fields. I know Rick Tellender wrote a column saying that basically the Bears should have, you know, benched Justin Fields just to protect his health because these games don't mean anything. And as we sit here today, they would be selecting second in the draft. And to a lot of people, you don't want to screw up your draft position. But if you could pull an upset against the Bills as an 8.5 point dog, I mean, you're on a 7-game losing streak and 8 of the last 9. At some point, don't you need a signature win? Okay. No matter your draft selection, just to make, you know, have a feel good and give Justin Fields and the guys in that locker room, you know, something to hang their hat on.
I know we have to break, so I'm just going to tease this and say something you said in there is one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to this Bears conversation. So I know everybody's going to be on the edge of their seat waiting to hear what this is. What's Jesse's pet peeve when it comes to this Bears conversation? But I agree with you. Let's dive into all these things when we come back. 312-332-3776.
I'm going to call AT&T during the break, all right? I'm going to call AT&T and work on this internet and here in the studio.
I can't get any stats. I don't know anything, which is par for the course for me. So I just have to wing it.
Back here on ESPN 1000 in just a few.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000.
Really? Your emergency vehicle and you don't
How are you saving lives if you can't get everywhere you need to get to?
I mean, what daily you know, cousin had that contract that they were saying, you know, they were banking money by not giving the SUVs with front wheel drive. I mean, can you imagine being a first responder? Yeah, I can't go down there because there's too much snow.
Well, I wonder also, Brian, how many people are coming in from Buffalo? I mentioned my buddy Seafood Dennis. He has season tickets. I said, are you going? And he said, are you kidding me? I sold my tickets to Bill's Mafia. They can have them.
Wow.
So, but how bad and boring must your life be in Buffalo if you're coming here for this game? And maybe you're spending Christmas here as well. But, right? I
mean,
have you been to Buffalo? What's that?
Have you been to Buffalo?
Well, yes. That's what I'm saying. How bad and boring must your life be?
I know. Have you been there?
I have been there.
Yeah, I was with the Blackhawks. I'll give you a couple of Buffalo stories when we come back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You pick this game, like, you know, you're spending thousands to come to your hotel, and you can't even walk outside, you know, downtown today or tomorrow, other than to go to the game. You're not walking Michigan Avenue in this weather, is what I'm saying.
Right? And I think it's the Anchor Steam Bar in Buffalo, overrated for the original chicken wings. 312-332-3776. We need to talk a little bit Buffalo when we come back. ESPN 1000.
Make fun of them.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This time of year, everyone's excited about the holidays, but what about all the basketball? Well, when you throw down on the NBA action, it's got to be with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can combine multiple bets for a bigger payout with DraftKings same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to get in on the holiday hoops action. Sign up with code WMVP, place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win, and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code WMVP. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and older, Illinois only. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus issued as free bets. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
There are seven wonders of the world just waiting to be seen.
But until you get there, visit the next best thing, Elmwood Park. It's a wonder you haven't visited yet. Hey everyone, it's Carmen. Elmwood Park's rich history, diverse culture, and culinary capital make it the place to be and celebrate this holiday season. Spend a date night or a night out with friends along Restaurant Row on North Avenue. From contemporary spots like Donnie G's or Gringo and Blondie to neighborhood staples, Russell's Barbecue or Johnny's Beef, Elmwood Park certainly has what you're craving.
You sense that?
It's your taste buds wondering what they've been missing in Elmwood Park.
Old National Bank wants to help your business get old. With bonuses up to $700 when you switch your small business checking account to us. Build your business at Old National, where business relationships and results matter. Old National Bank. Get old. Visit any Old National branch to open a small business checking or business partner interest checking account by December 30th, 2022. $50 minimum deposit to open. Must complete all bonus requirements to be eligible. Details available at oldnational.com/success. Member FDIC.
Live from State Street and the Old National Bank Studio, this is Cap and Jay Hood. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A good Karma Brands radio station.
That's why I see.
No Shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him
in my show. Glad you're with us, ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood off today. Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley here, and the guys are not here, but you know Shot or No Shot is always a staple of the morning show. And it's brought to us by Charlie Bevins.
Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Club Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races from home or on the go. Oh, good morning, Secretariat. With the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app and register at Club Hawthorne now for a chance at $12,000 cash on January 1st.
Say hello to Jim Miller out there, the man, and, of course, Tom Carey and everyone in Dakota, everyone at Hawthorne, great people as always. And time for Shot or No Shot. What do we have today, Charlie?
All right. Well, tomorrow the Bears go from playing the best team in the NFC in the Philadelphia Eagles to likely the best team in the AFC in the Buffalo Bills. They did, however, keep it close last week and looked like a functional football team against the one of the league's best. Even giving the Eagles a scare in the game. The Bills are 8.5-point favorites, but Shot or No Shot, this is a trap game for Buffalo.
Who they get next? Who they have next week? You have the schedule. I mean, by a trap game, they're usually looking ahead from a team that's 3-11 in the Chicago Bears, and as you alluded to, 11-3 Buffalo Bills.
They have a Monday night game against Cincinnati next week.
All right, national TV. No shot. And I see a lot of the predictions in the Sun-Times and Tribune and all the guys who and women who cover the Chicago Bears and do a great job doing so. And I see most of them, the majority of them, have this a touchdown game or even closer. They might hang in there for a while because they've been doing that the last 4 or 5 weeks. But I think this Buffalo Bills team is goods, and I think they're just way too good, and both sides of the ball, and they can put up points and as many as they need. I think they cover, and they probably end up winning by 13, 14 points.
I learned my lesson last week, so I'm going to say Shot, that it is a bit of a trap game. Couple things. First of all, the Eagles, as great as they were going into that game, were 2-4 on the road against the spread, now 2-5. As great as Philly is, on the road, not so great. I think Buffalo has sort of underachieved. I can't get to the internet to look at their point spread, you know, results, but because my net's been down. But I don't think they're as good covering as you might think for being a really good team. So big spread on the road, and you have to say, you'd have to think the weather is a mitigating circumstance here. In other words, it's going to insert itself into the game that's equal to both teams and kind of bring both teams down near the same level a little bit, like almost like what happened last week. I think the Bills win, but it's closer than 9 points. What'd you say, 8.5 points?
So we know that the Bears can run, and they're the best running team in the NFC. And with Khalil Herbert back,
big return there.
Yeah, big return.
Don't dismiss that.
No, no. But last week, the Eagles, I thought it was a shot to cover because that was a trap game for the Eagles. One, it was on the road, and two, they were looking forward to Dallas, which is a true rivalry for them.
We've got the same thing here. I mean, Buffalo on the road and looking forward to Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Monday night.
Okay. All right. I'll still say no shot.
Okay.
All right. It's no secret the Bears have a struggling offensive line, but one of the bright spots has been Braxton Jones. Jones is a functional left tackle they got in the fifth round, and in the fifth round, that's really all you can ask for out of a tackle. Shot or no shot, Braxton Jones eliminates the need for finding a left tackle right away this offseason.
Well, if anybody's listened to this radio station when I've been on these last 3-4 months, shot at that. I've loved this kid since about the third game of the preseason, and I don't think he's done anything to think that, oh, God, we got to go out and get a left tackle. And I'll add one more reason to it, Brian. It's because he's not done getting better. He's been on with me a couple times on this state. You could tell this guy loves to learn, loves to play, loves to get better. If this is the worst he is, we've got a good few years with Braxton Jones at left tackle.
No shot. And I remember that interview you did with him, and I was in my car after being on the air here. A terrific kid. I'm not knocking anything he's done.
Sure.
I mean, he was drafted where he's drafted. He's done yeoman's work. He's done his, you know, hopefully he hasn't done as well as he could. There is another level or two. But look, when you're Ryan Poles and you're sitting on $115 or $120 million worth of cap space, and, you know, I'd have to go look to see what available free agent left tackles are out there, and it's going to cost you, you know, a ton of money. But you have the money, and I would think you have the franchise quarterback. You can upgrade there, and you need to upgrade there. And that, I mean, I'm not blaming him for anything necessarily.
I get it.
But, you know, it would be a great story. I mean, if Ryan Poles really is going to say they found their guy, all right, well, then I'm going to trust in Ryan Poles. But I think because of the assets and the money you have to spend, you can do better. And I think you have to do everything you can in this offseason. And it's not just a one offseason thing. You have a lot of heavy lifting to do, but you've got to start both sides of the ball, both the offensive and defensive line. So,
well, let me say this: if I was going to take that side of the argument, you just made it for me. That was a good, well thought out argument. I can understand every point you just made there. I just think that this will be the guy. But it very well said. I can understand where you're coming from.
All right, the New York Jets last night lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it appears the final nail has been put in the coffin that is Zach Wilson's career. He was benched for something called Chris Streveler.
Wow.
Other notable draftees from the 2021 class include Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts, Micah Parsons, Jalen Waddle, Justin Fields, Devontae Smith, Rashawn Slater. You get the point. It's a long list of franchise-altering players that the Jets do not have because they drafted Wilson. Shot or no shot, Zach Wilson is a bigger bust than even our good friend Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, I mean, look, I would say shot. He'll get another chance, you know, whether he goes the Mitch Trubisky route and ends up being a backup somewhere like Mitch did in Buffalo for a year. But you Google Zach Wilson today, and he's trending, right? Here are the headlines. ESPN, Jets' Zach Wilson pulled as Chris Streveler gives quote-unquote spark. The New York Post, Zach Wilson looks done with the Jets after latest disaster. Yahoo, after Jets' bad loss to the Jaguars, Zach Wilson starting to look like a lost cause. You get the idea. He at least did the right thing in the post game after being benched, that he said the right things. I'm not good enough. The offense isn't good enough. We're not scoring. The fans should boo us. Things he didn't say the first go-around when he was benched. But the fact is, you've been benched twice. You look at that 2021 draft, Jess, and a month or so ago, our buddy Joe Fortenbaugh tweeted out, is Trevor Lawrence just bad? Could it be that? And now 5 weeks later, they are.
That didn't age well.
Yeah, right. But I mean, he has been, I think he's got 14, 15 touchdowns and one interception in that span. And they're now knocking on the door of a playoff spot. So when you start making determinations in that 2021 draft, the Bears still have to feel really good about Justin Fields compared to what's going out in San Francisco to be determined, and certainly what's going on with the Jets.
I forgot what the question was. Is he as bad as Trubisky?
Is he a bigger bust than Trubisky?
Yeah. The answer is yes, and I'll tell you why also. Trubisky had moments of success. I can't remember any for Zach Wilson. But more to the point, you have clear evidence in both situations, meaning this. When Trubisky went out and Foles took over, he was just as bad, if not worse. So this was bigger than a Trubisky issue. When Zach Wilson went out, Mike White took over, that offense looked like Air Coryell.
Yeah.
I mean, they were great for 2-3 games, and then Mike White got hurt, and they're back to being bad again. So the evidence is clear. He's worse than you thought, and the fact that he was taken, two, right? It's just mind-boggling. It's not Ryan Leaf territory, but you never know.
He was just a bad guy.
Right. But you get what I'm saying, the fact that I even have to bring that up. So,
well, you brought up Nick Foles, and just remember, you know, what Ryan Pace used to pay backup quarterbacks or even a starting quarterback in Mike Glennon, $16 million, whatever he was making that 1 year, and then he was benched four games in. And Nick Foles, $10 million here, there's $8 million for this guy. I mean, what a disaster. Not only what he was doing with the drafting Trubisky, but then paying these other guys ridiculous sums of money not to do anything.
Did Trubisky make the Pro Bowl like that first season or second?
As an alternate, I think.
Second year.
There's a moment of success, right? We weren't completely doubting him after 1 year, where Zach Wilson's had no success.
I think three guys begged out of the game, and they finally got to Trubisky.
I get it, but you know what I mean.
Yep. I hear you. So shot or no shot is at the end of shot or no shot, Charlie.
Yes, we got to go to break, but we can do one more question on the side if you want.
Okay.
Christmas stuff.
And we'll take your calls, 312-332-3776. Lines are open. You want to jump on in on this chilly morning in Chicago? You got Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley sitting in for Cap and Jay Hood, ESPN 1000.
Cap Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood off today. You got Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley, and we're here till top of the hour. And right now we're going to bring in Courtney Cronin, who is brought to us by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. And Courtney, on my way in today, I heard you on the network. You're doing double duty. And you mentioned it was 9 below. And as soon as you said that, my car went to 10 below. And I don't know what it is now because we're inside the studio here at 190 North State. But Jesse Rogers wants you on the sideline for like 5 hours tomorrow. I don't know what you did to Jesse.
Come on. TV's calling, Courtney.
You know, it's funny because the network, when I was in Minnesota, they would put me outside, I think purposefully, because they wanted to inflict pain on me. But they also love to see like the steam coming out of your mouth when you're talking and just trying to, truly live up to the elements and how miserable it is to be out there. But no, I'm going to go from my garage here in River North to the garage at Soldier Field, run up through the United Club, go up to the press box, and try to stay out of the cold for as long as I can tomorrow.
Which, in all honesty, Brian and I would be doing the same thing if we had to cover the game. So
aren't you glad you cover a sport, Jesse, that stops in November? You don't have to deal with this stuff.
Well,
April games at Wrigley, though, are no fun.
Back in a former life as a sports writer at the Sun-Times for 26 years, I looked at the list of the coldest games at Soldier Field, and I'd been to three of them, mm-hmm. but in the press box. So you did make a case on the network that this could be a trap game, and I see some of a lot of the people who cover the Bears on a daily basis have them within a touchdown. Where the line is 8.5. The game time temperature might be 8, might actually lower than the line. But can you make a case that they at the minimum hang with the Bills?
I think you can make a case that they can keep this one close the way that they did against Philadelphia last week defensively. Especially in the secondary, that was probably their best performance that they had. And the takeaways finally came alive. Like, that's something they had been missing in previous weeks. And I think it's a really good sign to see that sort of stuff on the stat sheet, because, you know, you look at this group, they spent so many resources in the draft to be able to shore up a secondary that really struggled last year. I think it was 27 of their 31 passing touchdowns allowed. A cornerback was the nearest defender. And, you know, Kyler Gordon has had some ups and downs this season, but for him to kind of right the ship on his rookie campaign and come away with a pick last week, and obviously Jaquan Brisker has become a staple in this defense. Like, you know that things are going in the right direction, at least with the picks that you made in the secondary. And for this secondary to hold up, honestly, you go back to the Green Bay game and how well they played in the first half, and then you have the Philly sample size on top of that without a pass rush that to help them. I think that gives you some hope that against this Buffalo team, you're going to see a similar sort of impact from the back end of the Bears' defense. Now, weather's going to dictate what this one looks like. We may not see, and really nothing to do with the cold, I think it's the wind. You may not see the ball being thrown a whole bunch if the wind factor is as much as we expect it to be. I'd be curious from Tracy Butler how much she thinks that that's going to affect things at kickoff, because, I mean, it's going to be cold, but if that wind ends up hindering the passing game, the Bears might have the edge there, because in terms of the running game, because Justin Fields and where he is right now as far as running quarterback, 1,000 yards on the season, like, he and Josh Allen can go toe-to-toe, but I think the Bears have the better backfield, and now that you have Khalil Herbert in there, that's going to change things and make them more dynamic, where they might be able to keep this thing close against a team that's trying to lock up the AFC East this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said there, especially when you consider the wind and the fact that the Bears don't have a passing game in perfect condition. So why not let it be windy and bring the Bills' passing game down to their level? And what I'm getting at is that wide receiver room. You've covered the NFL for a while now, Courtney. Have you ever seen just a crazier wide receiver room between injuries and underperformance? Now Claypool's doubtful. It's just sort of a lost season at that position.
Yeah, and I don't think they ever were set up to have a great season from this mishmash group of receivers that they kind of pieced together, where guys are on short-term deals. You have Equanimeous St. Brown, who came in here on a prove-it year. Byron Pringle came here on a prove-it year. And there have been moments where they've done that, but those moments are few and far between. And again, Justin Fields is going to have a very limited group there, which I think is just unfortunate considering what we saw last week, how the passing game looked when he was down four of his top six receivers. And when it's that thin of a group to begin with, it's going to be tough. And I think the Chase Claypool one's interesting, because I almost think you could tell some of Matt Eberflus's frustrations with just how that thing has played out, with how he spoke of Chase Claypool yesterday and not being able to get a real read on him, because you can't evaluate a guy that isn't playing. And it's not like he tried to get hurt, you know, with his knee against Green Bay. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances that it's played out this way, where he hasn't been on the field the past two games. And, for the status that he has for tomorrow, in being doubtful, we don't expect to see him out there with that knee injury. It just feels like you're kind of kicking the can over on this one to 2023, really hoping that that thing pans out, where you know that you're going to have Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool as impact guys for Justin Fields, but then who else? Like, that's the problem. I think the only thing they come away with, which they already knew, is that this receiving core is nowhere near where it needs to be. Like, you can't win with a receiving core like this against good teams. Fortunately, they didn't have to do that this year. They don't have to win. They weren't set up to. But next year and the years beyond that, when you're trying to, it can't look like this.
Courtney Cronin, brought to us by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Join us here on Cap and Jay Hood. It's Jesse and Brian till top of the hour. And Courtney, beyond the receiving group, which you just really, you know, dug into, rightfully so, you're going to have the eighth iteration of an offensive line, because now Tevin Jenkins has that neck injury and Cody Whitehair is out. And we were talking earlier, Braxton Jones has done a great job on the left side, but can you upgrade there? I mean, if you're Ryan Poles, and a guy who's drafted in the fifth round is really done a remarkable job being thrown into that thing, I still think you need to upgrade at left tackle now that you seemingly have the franchise quarterback. What do you think?
Well, don't tell Jesse that.
No, he took the other side of that.
No, sure. I want Courtney's opinion. I trust hers, not yours.
Of course you do.
Like, I think you can upgrade a lot of different places. Like, the thing with Braxton Jones is he's played above expectation this year, and I think anybody with the Bears would be comfortable saying that, because you don't, I mean, no matter how good your scouting is, to expect a fifth-round FCS guy to come in and be an immediate impact player, like that's great. Like the fact that that one worked out is of high importance and shows that the Bears can get it right. And I do think that if you have a chance, no matter what, like this is a position where you can never have enough talent up front, because as you see, like you mentioned, Hanley, like with the eighth iteration of this line this weekend because of the injuries to Tevin Jenkins and to Cody Whitehair, who are both, you know, doubtful to play, like we're going to see more guys in there. So maybe we do see Alex Leatherwood at left guard. And if that ends up being a better fit for him than playing right tackle, maybe that's one that they don't end up touching for next year.
They better find something for him, given
given how much his contract is and the guarantees they picked up, and news like just moments ago, the Packers gave Elkton Jenkins a 4-year, $68 million contract extension. So yeah, there's another pending free agent who's not going to be a free agent next year at guard, and you just reset the market at that position. That's what it's going to take. You're going to have to pay to get those premium interior offensive linemen in, and I think it's a reasonable investment because those are the spots, more than the tackle spots this year, that need to be beefed up. And I think center is the obvious one where you start, and then you go out from there, because Tevin Jenkins has been a nice addition at guard, and that one has worked out. But what about Cody Whitehair? How much longer is he planning to play? I know he's been here since 2016. You know, hopefully this knee injury isn't serious enough to keep him out, you know, an extended period of time. But you got to wonder how they're going to bring in more guys to create more competition. Is it going to come via the draft? Because you can do that, but you also have some pretty high draft picks that you might be wanting to spend on edge rushers, because there are so many talented defensive linemen on the outside, you know, whether they're 3-4 outside linebackers, so someone like a Will Anderson who can pretty much play in any scheme, or you have, you know, true edge rushers at the defensive end position. Like, you can find so many of those guys in the draft. So this is going to dictate their priorities of what they do in free agency before that, based on how they'll end up trying to strategize for the draft. But again, you can expect them to make upgrades on the offensive line. They need to, because there have been so many issues in pass protection this year that have just come because there's a talent deficiency in some of those spots up front.
No doubt. Before we let you go, Courtney, I want to get back to the weather. My internet's been down the last 24 hours. That's my excuse for not being completely prepared for the show. And I don't have your resume in front of me, but you were up there when Minnesota had to play outside, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The playoff game that happened at TCF, the one where it was -6, that was before I got there. They had just moved into U.S. Bank by the time I had rolled around.
Okay. But my point being is, okay, we know wind affects things, but when you get down to zero, it does affect the paw. I mean, throwing
of course.
And
I mean,
kicking.
The thing's like a rock.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you usually see? Lame ducks a lot of times? What is it when it gets down to zero, in your opinion?
You know, I think the football is going to be, that thing's going to be frozen. And Richard Hightower, the Bears special teams coordinator, talked about how they, you know, prepare for things like this. Because my first thought is the kicking game. Like, you're kicking a frozen football, that thing's going to have a different trajectory and it's going to feel different coming off your foot if you're Cairo Santos. And we know he's been struggling as of late, especially on extra points. So I'm curious. That's the one thing I'll be really honed in on tomorrow, to make sure, is there a change there? Are they altering how he kicks the ball? Is he altering how he kicks the ball? That's one thing. I think, honestly, other than that, guys don't want to get, I mean, this is a physical, violent game, but gosh, it hurts to get hit. And that turf, that grass at Soldier Field is like cement to begin with. When it gets those temperatures, that's gonna be tough, and you hope that you don't see a lot of injuries coming off of just guys getting tackled because of how hard the playing surface is.
Kudos to Khalil Herbert. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I need one more week, and he said he's gonna be in there.
Yeah, I've seen the Weather Channel. I'm good for another week.
Yeah, I'll come back in Detroit when they play indoors.
And Courtney, exactly. You can take a page out of the John Madden book, where he would always want the window open in the broadcast booth. Oof. And he broke a window because it wouldn't open. He just took a chair and threw it through. You know, so if you want to really let the elements into the press box and make a lot of friends around you, just go ahead and do that.
Oh, no, I think I'm good on that. I the walk from the press box down to the locker room, which you know so well, like, make sure, I've told Buffalo people, make sure you have your coat. It is not warm, and it is a long walk, and you will freeze on your way out there, because it is those the bowels of Soldier Field are awful.
Well, I saw Carlos Santos said he was, you know, thought about two pairs of socks, but he said his kicking shoe is tight already, so he's not going to do that. Charlie Bevins told me the studio was going to be really cold this morning, so I wore two pairs of socks.
That was a smart veteran move. Yeah. Absolutely veteran move.
Courtney, appreciate it as always. Enjoy your sideline 5 hours tomorrow. Jesse's calling Bristol to make sure that it happens. So,
thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Take care, Courtney.
You too.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I mean, Brian, dome or no dome? What's your answer?
Oh, I've completely gone soft on that. I used to be absolutely no dome guy. Bring a retractable roof. It would be my thing. And if they're going to cut costs there and not do that because it's more expensive, shame on them. Because,
well, I agree, retractable. But I am kind of looking forward to tomorrow because it's just kind of funny. You know, I mean, I hope nobody gets hurt, but I mean, it's just kind of funny. Hey, who can survive the elements?
That stadium in Minneapolis, I haven't been there, but everyone who has tells me it's if not the best, it's one of. And so yeah. Hopefully George McCaskey's been up there taking notes. They get a lot of natural light coming in from the glass at the one end of the field. There are ways you can make it so it's not a crypt. I remember the first time I went to the Astrodome, I mean, spend 5-6 hours there, you know, covering a game and come out in the blazing sunshine at 5 o'clock and you feel like you've been in a crypt for you know, like you've been dead for 5 hours. And the team I covered was actually.
Minnesota has some good stadiums. The baseball stadium, from what I hear, is great. It's the only one I haven't been to.
Yeah, I haven't been to Target Field either.
Target Field is the only one I have never been to, but people say great things about that.
And the hockey arena, I was there when it first opened. It was. I remember they had fresh walleye or something. They right out one of the 10,000 lakes they're cooking.
Yeah, so they do a good job up there. I'd love to see the football and baseball stadium. I haven't done that.
Yeah, I mean, look, they can do it in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We can certainly do it in Arlington Heights. we come back. It's going to be Friday folder time, and we have time to take your calls. 312-332-3776. Cap and Jay Hood, ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Guys are off today. Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley here until top of the hour. Charlie Bevins, our most valuable player, the man who slept here last night. That's dedication. The weather reports made him think that the public transportation wasn't going to be that well run today, and he wanted to make sure he was here on time and very early, and that's dedication. So hopefully Danny Zetterman takes note and gives him a little bit more of the green in the pay envelope this week. Well, like, you know, again, it's radio. I've been in it too long to know that's the case. But a sincere thank you, Charlie, for sleeping on beanbag chairs to make sure the show was ready to go this morning.
But it's time for chairs.
Yeah, it's time for, yeah, sure it is. Friday folder. Charlie, what we got today?
All right, how about this? Daniel Snyder has already received offers well north of $7 billion for the Commanders. $7 billion with a B. I mean, the Suns just went for $4 billion, and that's an NBA team. So I guess it's not super surprising, but the cost of these teams is pretty outrageous.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, we have, I'm going to use the word developed, we've developed more billionaires in this country than we've ever had. There is plenty of money to be spent on these teams because they have it to spend on these teams. So I'm not shocked by that $7 billion. I'm not, there's no number that will shock me. There's a lot of people all of a sudden that have a lot of money these days. I don't know how they got it, but they do, and there's going to be competition for these teams when they become available.
Well, and look, the Chicago Bears, Forbes had them at $5.8 billion, six of all sports franchises back in March of this year, and they don't even own the stadium, right? Now, they're mm-hmm. Once they get that thing up and running,
it's closer to $10
billion. Oh, yeah, right? I mean, think about that.
Part of it, if you do buy Washington, you're probably going to have to build a new stadium.
Right, that FedEx has been around a while now, right?
Yeah, and it's honest, it might be worse than Soldier Field. Like, it at least Soldier Field is, like, structurally sound.
Yeah.
I think you can't really say the same about FedEx.
And look, we've seen the Cubs were purchased for $890 million how many years ago? And they're well north of $4 billion, I would say. I'd have to look there. I'm sure they're on the list here.
Past three. I don't know if it's four, but yes.
Oh, yeah. But think about it. If they actually went on the market, what do you think? I mean, what they say the valuation is, and once you get two billionaires bidding on it, I mean, who knows? It could be $8, $9, $10 billion.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, in the old days, there'd be a couple people that could bid on it, that, you know, whatever. Now it's like billionaires down the street from you, you know, that can bid on it. There's many more that can do this sort of thing.
Well, I remember, so when the Cubs were up for sale and Sam Zell was selling and Mark Cuban was in the mix, and I was covering the Bulls. We were down in Dallas, and again, he was available before the game because he's Mark Cuban. Didn't have to go ask. You know, he was just standing there, sitting there, so he went up and talked to him. And he was talking about, similar to now with the interest rates on everything, credit cards going through the roof because they're trying to get inflation under breath. He said he told Sam Zell, you know, he would need help in financing. You know, Sam Zell would have to share the pain of the interest cost to borrow the money. And Tom Ricketts just borrowed it from Dad, so he didn't have the same interest. But Mark Cuban bowed out because the financing became so onerous. And now the Cubs, you know, what a smart investment. Tom Ricketts told his dad, it's, you know, they sell out whether they win or lose. And these years in a World Series later, it's worth, who knows, $7, $8, $10 billion. Who knows?
All right. So there was, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was, at the Patriots-Raiders game, obviously, where Chandler Jones had that ridiculous play at the end, there's a video of these two Raiders fans, like, yelling and screaming and getting right in the face of this Patriots fan.
Oh.
The Patriots fan just stands there stoically and doesn't respond at all.
It's a woman screaming at him.
He doesn't do anything. So Robert Kraft saw that video and invited this man, Jerry Edmund, as a guest to the games. He'll also be on the field during pregame warmups. A nice little gesture by Robert Kraft there stoic that guy was.
Let's set this up tomorrow. You pretend to be a Bills fan, scream in my face, and then next week I can get on the field or something.
Did you see that? Well, you don't have the internet. Yeah. You haven't seen anything.
No, I did see it. I did see it. Yeah, I mean, what are you doing?
This is working by candlelight right now.
But, I mean, usually it's some, you know, overserved guy who's, you know, testosterone's. This woman, she seems very pleasant. Boy, whoever she goes home to at night, God bless you. I mean, that, and she's, you know, waving her hands in his face, and you're right. In this day and age, when people would snap, he just stood there calmly, and whoever's with him is like got a hand on his shoulder, like, you know, he was unbelievable.
He's a statue.
Yeah.
I know. Folks, it's a sporting event, honey.
Oh, good Lord.
Geez, I shouldn't say that. Hit the dump button on that note. it's a sporting event. Like, man, woman, whatever. Just, like, show some class. It's
I think she's a woman, but, boy, she was, what a pleasant person. And, you know, it's like one of those people when you see them on planes. When you see them coming down the aisle, you're like, please don't sit next to me. Please don't sit next to me. Oh, thank God. You know, five rows behind. But yeah, if you get stuck and you're there and you can't go, I mean, your seat is your seat. Yeah, but God bless. I mean, he gets to overinflate the footballs too. I think that's part of the package as a guest of Kraft.
Twitter is now showing everyone how many views your tweets get. So Elon always ends up in worst weekends for us, and Twitter always ends up in the Friday folder. So this feels a little like cheating, but basically your view count is public on your tweets, which can either be very disheartening when you see a lot of people who saw it and didn't like it, or it can be some other alternative.
How about this? It's nothing. It's neither. It's meaningless in anyone's life. Likes, comments, retweets. It means views. It means nothing. I that's a little pet peeve. I mean, I'm in the business. I get attacked on. Who cares? It's not real life. Anything that's said to me on Twitter does not affect me.
You know, I like Twitter, and I'm so late to the game. I mean, Mike Thomas, when he was nice enough to ask me to join ESPN 1000, he said, hey, I notice you're not on Twitter. I'm like, yeah. He goes, you know, I think you really should look at that. You should probably be on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, no, I've gotten this far. I really don't need it. He goes, no, it's really not a suggestion. And so I'm on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter mostly for work as well.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's just meaningless.
But I couldn't tell you. God bless. I love interacting with people I know and people I don't know. And And sometimes I'm very active on it, and I can go 4 or 5 days with barely looking at it. But I couldn't tell you how many people I follow or follow me or comments. And I'm with you, Jess.
Me neither. I'm not, none of that. None of that. In fact, I argue with Paul Sullivan, who takes a little bit more seriously with the blocking. I've never blocked. I wouldn't know how to block someone.
I'm with you.
I don't want to block someone. I don't care to block someone.
I don't know if I've been blocked. I don't, you know.
Right, block me. Don't block me. I retweet my stories, some breaking news, and then I go about my business.
Yeah, and what's your Twitter handle so people can block you or not block you or what?
At Jesse Rogers ESPN. Please follow me. Please, please, please. And view my stuff now that we know how many views. Please.
And I'm at Brian
my
Hanley.
My life depends on it.
Brian Hanley 534. Charlie Bevins, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at CRBevins11.
Okay.
One of my journalism pet peeves, Brian, is when there's a story written on one of these terrible websites that just is, you know, reaction to so-and-so, Taylor Swift's ticket thing. And the reaction is just Twitter comments. That is not a story. That Twitter comments, you cannot turn Twitter comments into a story. You need to do some actual journalism. You want to call that person that made a Twitter comment and interview them? I can live with that.
Twitter
comments is not a story because it doesn't really get to the heart of an issue.
You might have
taking some random people.
You might have a better chance of getting hold of Taylor Swift calling her than AK or Mark Eversley. That's just
as we bring this full circle. Yeah. That's a pet peeve of mine.
I know. I hear you. All right, I'm going to make a story out of that today. We'll be back on ESPN 1000 in just a couple. Thanks for staying with us.
This is Kath and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000.